1 John chapter 3 and verse 22 tonight. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." We've had a good couple weeks here looking at the concepts about how to pray. Now, kids, I am so glad that the kids are here on Sunday nights, because, kids, your prayers are just as important and just as effective as any grown-up's prayers. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that if we want to see God work, we have to have faith like a child. So don't think that these messages are just for the grown-ups. Kids, I want you to get hold of these truths tonight and allow God to work in your heart, and you can be one of the prayer warriors here at Bethel Baptist Church. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. I wonder how many of us that could be our testimony. That we could say, you know what? Whatever I ask God for, He gives it to me. I wish I could say that. But that's what the verse says. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. But why? Look at the rest of the verse. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. As we look at how to pray again this week, one of the most important concepts that you could ever grasp is this idea that with praying must be obeying. Obeying and praying go together. Praying without obeying is not worthwhile. It says here that we have what we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Let's think about this some tonight, but let's pray first. Father, I ask that You'll use tonight's message to stir us to prayer, but also to show us some of the reasons perhaps that we're not seeing our prayers answered. Don't let us blame You or get upset at You. Lord, let us look at our own lives. And I pray that tonight You would do a work in our lives to get us ready to be praying Christians, to prepare us to storm the throne of grace, to come boldly before Your throne as You told us to, with requests and burdens that we believe are Your will, knowing that You want to answer. And because, Lord, that You bring us to the point of obedience, we will look forward to You answering those requests. I pray that You'll use this message, speak through me tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, if we want God to do as we ask Him, we must keep His commandments. If we want God to do what we ask Him to do, then we must do as He asks us to do. Doesn't that make sense? When your kids were growing up and they said, Mom or Dad, can you do this or can we do this or can I get an ice cream bar? Your thoughts turned back to the previous hours, and you thought, well, have my kids been doing what I've asked them to do? Yeah, they have. So maybe I'll do what they're asking me to do. Let's go get an ice cream bar. Or perhaps you took it as a teaching opportunity, and you said, well, Johnny, I would have bought you an ice cream bar, but you haven't been doing what I've asked you to do today. Isn't our Lord the same way? He says in this verse that we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. In R.A. Torrey's book, he tells of a lady who had basically given it all up when it comes to the Christian life. She said, I've had it. I'm done with this Christian walk. I'm done with this Christian life. It doesn't work. Torrey says, well, why? She says, because I've prayed for things and God hasn't answered. I've asked God to do some things and He hasn't done it. I've asked God to give me some things and He hasn't given them to me. And the Bible says if I ask, He'll give it to me, and He hasn't done it, so I'm giving it up. Well, of course, this concerned her preacher, Brother Torrey, and so he questioned her a little bit, and she admitted to the fact that she was not keeping His commandments. She wasn't obeying God. She wasn't doing the things that God wanted her to do. So that's why God wasn't answering her prayers. Folks, we might blame God for unanswered prayer, but the blame doesn't belong on Him. It belongs on us. The fact is sometimes that the one praying is not keeping His commandments. Now, to keep His commandments, what does that mean? Let's evaluate that a little bit. First of all, to keep His commandments, we must be earnest students of the Word of God. We better be studying this book. Because if we're not studying this book, there's no way we can know what God wants us to do. And to just say, well, I'm not obeying His commandments, but it's because I didn't know them, that's not a legitimate excuse. Try that on the policeman. Well, sir, I did not know that the speed limit was only 25 through this residential area. I tried that in Detroit. It didn't work. I didn't get out of my only ticket. I was going through this little back road and it's going too fast. And deservedly, I was caught. And so I did the right thing, paid the ticket, and took my punishment like a man. But anyway, to say, well, I didn't know about it, is not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. And the same thing is true for the Lord. We won't be able to stand before Him someday and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. Well, we can't go to Him now and say, Lord, You're not answering my prayers. And, well, I just didn't know these things were wrong. Okay, first of all, we've got God's Holy Spirit if we're saved. He's indwelling you. Sometimes people confuse the conscience and the Holy Spirit. The difference is unsaved people have a conscience. They could do something wrong and they feel a little tinge about it and they think, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. Well, a Christian, when they do something wrong, they feel a little tinge about it. They think maybe I shouldn't have done that. Well, you say, well, that's the same as the conscience then. Okay, the difference is your conscience, the Bible says, can be seared. The story is told of the old Indian chief. He said, my conscience is like a little triangle in my heart. And when I do wrong, the triangle spins and the points hurt my heart. But if I keep doing wrong long enough, the points wear off. And that's the truth, isn't it? And somebody's conscience can be seared where it doesn't bother him anymore. And that's how some of these, you think, how can some of these mass murderers commit murder after murder and it doesn't bother them? Their conscience is seared. And that's where the Holy Spirit is different. Because as Christians, we have God's Holy Spirit and the points don't wear off. All right? If you're saved and you've got God's Holy Spirit, that conviction will keep being there. You could try to ignore it, but it'll be there. Sometimes we wonder, well, okay, but is that just me? Am I just being too sensitive? Am I being overly, introspective and picky about my Christian walk? How do you know? Because it is possible for a Christian to think that maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting them or their conscience is bothering them, but really they're just being too introspective. So how do you know? Anybody have an idea? The Word of God. The Word of God is how we know. We check it out by the Bible. We say, now, Lord, is this You convicting me? What does the Word of God have to say about this? So we must be earnest students of the Word if we're going to see our prayers answered, because we have to keep His commandments and we got to know what His commandments are. Now, this requirement of keeping His commandments is not the requirement of perfection. Put that out of your mind, because some people say, okay, well, I guess none of us are going to get our prayers answered because we all sin. We all have that conviction, that sense of, oh man, I messed up, I blew it. And so none of us can say that we perfectly keep His commandments. So what does this verse mean then? Okay, here's the idea. There are two types of disobedience that will hinder answers to prayer. Number one, known sin that remains unconfessed and unforsaken. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Your Bible, Psalm 19. There are a couple of the Psalms that are famous to memorize. Psalm 1 is one of them. And another one that a lot of people memorize is Psalm 19. But tucked away in Psalm 19 is something that helps us understand this concept of what it means to obey His commandments. Because if it means to obey them perfectly and be sinlessly perfect so that I can have my prayers answered, then nobody would ever get their prayers answered. We know that's not true because People in the Bible had their prayers answered. Were they sinlessly perfect? No. Because none of us will be perfect until we get to heaven and we're made totally like Christ. So what does it mean then to keep His commandments? Well, first of all, it means that there's not any known sin, sin that I know about, that I'm going to leave there and it's going to be unconfessed and unforsaken. I know it's there, I know it's not pleasing to God, but I'm just going to do it anyway. That's kind of presumptuous, isn't it? That's a big word, isn't it? Presumptuous. Look down in Psalm 19 and verse number 13. The psalmist says, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." He says, keep me back from presumptuous sins. Those sins that I do, even though I know they're wrong. He says, keep me back from those so I can be innocent. So I can be right with you, God. So I can have my prayers answered. So I can be keeping His commandments. So keeping His commandments doesn't mean I never sin. Keeping His commandments means when I sin, I say, Lord, that was wrong. I agree with you about it. I confess it before you. And then, Lord, I forsake it to the best of my ability, Lord, and with your help, I'm not going to go back and do it again. I don't want to do that sin anymore. Now, I might do it again, but forsaking it means I don't want to. It means I agree with God about my sin. That's what confession is all about. Confession is not simply saying, sorry, Lord, and I'll do it again. Sorry, Lord. Do it again. Sorry, Lord. Do it again. No, confession is, I agree with you, God. It's wicked. It's wrong. It put Christ on the cross, and I want it out of my life. I'm weak. I might still fail, but Lord, I want it out of my life. Would you take over? Live your life through me? I'm forsaking that sin. At the moment that you do that, at the moment that you forsake that sin, He forgives. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And as verse 13 says here, you are innocent before God. He looks down and He doesn't see your sin anymore because it's forgiven, it's washed away, and you can stand before Him pure. And then you can pray and see those prayers answered. But there's one other type of disobedience that hinders prayer. Yes, the presumptuous sins, but look at verse 12 in Psalm 19. It says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Here are the faults or the sins that are secret to me. Some things that I've done wrong that maybe I didn't know they were wrong. Or maybe I knew that it was wrong, but I didn't realize that I did it. A lot of that is sins with our tongue. Sometimes we don't realize that we just tore somebody to shreds with our tongue and we just spoke without thinking. And later on, maybe we realize it, but we don't even realize we did it. It's secret to us. The psalmist so desires to be right with God that he says, Lord, not only cleanse me from my presumptuous sins, but cleanse me from my secret sins. The ones that I did that I didn't even know I did, or maybe I know I did it, but I didn't know it was wrong. Cleanse me from those as well. Now, can those hinder our prayers being answered? Perhaps. Now, obviously not all of them do, because we all have sin that we don't know about. And yet, people have seen prayers answered. So how do you handle those kind of sins? Okay. First of all, we have a responsibility for the stage that you are in your Christian life. The Lord expects that you ought to know about certain things. Now, someone who's newly saved, they might not know that such and such is not pleasing to God. They might not know that if they do this, they're disobeying God. They might not know that. They're newly saved. They haven't had time to study the Bible. They haven't heard the preaching. They haven't been to the Sunday night and Wednesday night services very long. It's kind of new to them still. I believe the Lord's mercy is there. But if we've been saved for a number of years, the Lord knows the stage of growth that we ought to be at. And I believe that our answered prayers hinge on the fact that, yes, Lord, I've grown to that point. I understand what you're trying to tell me. I believe what you're saying in your word, and I'm going to obey to the point that I know. If you've been saved for years and years, but you still don't know something's wrong just because you haven't studied the Bible, I believe the Lord's going to hold back answers to prayer because He wants you to get your nose in the book. He wants you to study those things. Now, the remedy for those secret faults is obviously studying your Bible, but it's also praying like the psalmist did in Psalm 19:12, saying, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. So here you go. You're getting ready to pray. This is how to pray, right? You're getting ready to pray, and perhaps you get on your knees, or you find a quiet place, or maybe you walk and pray aloud, but you're getting ready to pray. And so you start out and you say, now, Lord, I want to be right with you. Are there some sins that I've done presumptuously that I need to get right with you about? And as the Lord brings them to mind, you let your heart break and you agree with them about it. You say, Lord, forgive me for that. Cleanse me. I don't want to do that. I shouldn't have done that today or yesterday or last week. Lord, cleanse me from that. I want to be right. And you forsake it best you know how, and He'll forgive. And then like the psalmist, you say, now, Lord, I've confessed everything I know to confess. Would you cleanse me from secret faults? Would you forgive me for those sins that I committed that I didn't realize I did? Or maybe I know I did it, but I didn't realize it's wrong. Cleanse me from those as well. And let me be totally right with you as I get ready to present these requests before your throne. You see, now you're keeping His commandments. Are you sinlessly perfect? No. But you're right with God. You've handled those presumptuous sins, and you've handled those sins that you ought to know about by studying your Bible and then asking for cleansing from secret faults. You say, well, that's kind of... See, some people handle it wrong. They'll just go to the secret faults right away. Get ready. Okay, Lord, I'm getting ready to pray. Forgive me for all my sins. Okay, now here's my list of requests. Well, wait a minute. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Is that really agreeing with God about your sin? Okay, that's not really what confession is all about. And I don't think the Lord is fooled by a little quick fix prayer. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Okay, we've got to take some time and allow Him to search us. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A great prayer to pray at the start of your prayer time. Say, Lord, show me. You show me because I want to be right with you. So, we see that to have our prayers answered, the first thing we've got to know is we've got to keep His commandments. And that means being right with Him as best we know how. Now, let's look at something else in 1 John. If you've lost your spot, maybe you can go back there. 1 John 3:22. Because there's something else at the end of the verse. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, is there a difference between keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight? I believe there is. I think there are many things that would be pleasing to God if we did them, even though He hasn't specifically commanded us to do those things. We're talking about heart here. We're talking about a desire to please the Lord, to make Him happy. That's our heart. It's not just, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to do what you say to do. Okay? That's keeping His commandments, but it's not doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. We're talking about heart here. Do we have a heart that wants to please our God? Let's have some participation here tonight. Why don't you give me something that would be pleasing to the Lord that is not specifically commanded in Scripture? Something you could do tonight or tomorrow or this week perhaps, something that a Christian could do that is pleasing to God, but there's not necessarily a specific command in Scripture to do it. Okay, anybody got one? Somebody's tapping somebody else. Go ahead and tell them. Come on. Yes. Make cookies for Mrs. Needler. There you go. You know, I actually had down, I made a little list of things, and I put surprising someone with an anonymous candy bar gift. You know, the Bible doesn't say make cookies for someone or give somebody a or do something like that. No, but you know, that's something, would that be pleasing to God? I think it would be. Especially if you did it anonymously, you're not trying to get them to like you, or you're not trying to earn cookie points, brownie points with them. You're just doing it out of Christian love to try to encourage someone and build them up. And we don't have a specific command about that, but that's something that's pleasing in His sight, isn't it? How do you know if the Lord wants you to do that? Well, if He lays it on your heart, if He makes you think of it, then it's probably something He wants you to do. You know what else, though? As we're saying, Lord, I want my prayers answered, so I'm going to keep Your commandments, but I also want to do something pleasing to You. And so you think about it a little. What could I do that would be pleasing to You, Lord? So somebody else, what else could we do that would be pleasing to Him? Singing a song for Him. Excellent. Singing a song. Yes? I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you. Okay, visit people who maybe are down or depressed. Go and visit them and encourage them. That's a great thing to do. And again, you might be hard-pressed to find a verse that says to do that, but that'd be pleasing to God, wouldn't it? He would be pleased if you went out of your way to encourage somebody who was discouraged. Supporting our missionaries. Now, we might argue that there's some commandments about that, but supporting our missionaries. By the way, we do have that finance report on the back table, and our missions giving was down last month. Let's remember our faith promise, and let's continue to support our missionaries. But you know, that's pleasing to God, isn't it? That's pleasing to God. And you know, the Lord might have told you in your heart to commit yourself to a certain level of faith promise for missions. But He might tell you to give a little more sometime. That's pleasing to Him. Okay, Lord, I'll please You. I want to see my prayers answered. I want to do the things that are pleasing to You. Anything else? There you go. Someone who's not able to wash their windows or mow their grass, and you take it upon yourself to do that for them. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing that would be for them to come home. You know, maybe they're an older person, you know, and they're driving. Hey, somebody did my grass. Praise the Lord, you know. That'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? Up in Michigan one time, I was going house to house, and I knocked at this one door, and nobody was home. I had to trudge through about a foot of snow because their walk wasn't shoveled. And I was kind of grumbling, oh man, I can't believe they didn't shovel their walk. And when I knocked on their door, there were some little signs and things on the door that I could tell this was an older couple. And there on the porch, they had a shovel. Nah, I'm not going to do that. I got my tie on, you know, I'm going out visiting. And the Lord smote my heart. He said, come on, do that thing. Please. All right, Lord. So I shoveled their walkway. And, you know, even in the snow, you can work up a sweat. Did you guys know that? You can even work up a sweat in the snow. So anyway, shoveled their walk. And I left them a tract. I never heard from them. They never came to the church or anything. Who knows if it did any good. But you know what? I did something that was pleasing in His sight. And I think He was pleased. I could probably give you a bunch more illustrations where I messed up and didn't do what the Lord told me to do as well. But you know, when we do things that are pleasing in His sight, He says, then you're going to receive of Me the things that you're asking Me for. Writing someone a thank you note. Spending some extra time reading your Bible this holiday weekend. Yes, have some fun time with your family on the 4th of July holiday, which is tomorrow on the 5th. Have some fun time with your family. But what about some extra time for the Lord? It'd be a great thing. Tori describes people who excuse their lack of pleasing God like this by saying, well, is there any command in the Bible that I shouldn't do certain things? See, sometimes it's not only the positive things we do, sometimes it's some other things that, you know, people say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't do this. Well, wait a minute. Is it pleasing to God? Is it pleasing in His sight? Because if I want my prayers answered, I got to be trying to please Him as well. Think about marriage, okay? If I only did the things that I had to do in my marriage, would my wife be pleased? If you only did the things that you had to do, you know, you got to go to work, man, and, you know, bring home a paycheck, but, you know, you never do anything else extra. You see, your marriage wouldn't be going very well, and the relationship would not be strong, would it? But instead, what do? Guys, we study our wives. And we think, you know, I'm going to find out what she likes. And through the years, you find different things. I found once in a while, my wife would like if I bring home some Reese's peanut butter cups. Now, if I do it all the time, she'll get mad because you're trying to get me fat, you know. But once in a while, you know, a Reese's peanut butter cup will make her day. I found out that my wife does not like me to bring home flowers. Can you believe that? Some of you guys are going, man, I wish my wife was like that. If I bring home flowers, she'll go, what are you doing spending money on flowers? We don't have money for this. And she means it. I mean, I'm in trouble if I do that. So I don't do that because I want to make her happy. I want to please her. Now, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that makes my wife happy is a thorough pickup of the house. I mean, and I mean thorough, because if I pick up 90% of the stuff that's left out and she gets home and finds a few things out, well, this house is a wreck, you know. there's only one cup over there, dear, on the, yes, but it's a wreck. See, I've got to be 100%. Well, that's something that pleases her. That's something that makes her happy. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes she's working that third shift and she's going to get home in the morning. So I'm getting up and getting ready in the morning. I think, oh man, I got to get downstairs and make sure we cleaned up everything last night before she walks in. Why? Because I want her to be happy. I want to do things that are pleasing in her sight. And it's the same way with the Lord. We do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Did anybody read chapter 3 from Tori this week? Okay, a couple of you. You know what? It was interesting. The applications that he gave in the year 1900 or 1901 when the book was written still apply today. He applied this idea to the movie theater, dancing, and tobacco. And when you read that chapter, it was like, whoa, this was 100 years ago, and he's applying it to the same areas. You know, people say, well, you know, what's wrong with smoking cigarettes? The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke or use tobacco. Yeah, but is God pleased with it? Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And maybe I'm not going to read specifically a verse about that, but say, Lord, I want to please You. I want to do the things that are pleasing in Your sight so I can get my prayers answered. He applies it to dancing. And, you know, some Christians argue and say, oh, come on, dancing can't be that bad. What's wrong with going to the dance at the high school? You know, come on, what's the big deal? Of course, some of us, if we went to the dance, we couldn't walk for the next 3 weeks. But so he says, well, you know, show me chapter and verse. I mean, David danced in the Bible and all that. Wait a minute. Is it pleasing to God? Is the atmosphere at that place pleasing to God? Is the music being played glorifying to God? Are the things that go on there or afterwards pleasing to God? You know, if we look at it as, Lord, I want to please You, I think it becomes pretty obvious that a Christian doesn't want to have part in those kind of things. So he says, well, go into the movies. I mean, come on, what's the big deal about going into the movie theater? Hey, you know as well as I do that just about every one of those Hollywood movies will throw at least one bad thing in there. And Christians will say, well, it's only one bad thing. Wait a minute. I want to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And my testimony is so important. I don't want to go into that movie theater and people think, I saw the preacher going in the movie theater. And here's a list of 7 different movies you could go into. And, you know, maybe I went to see Bambi, but they don't know what I went in there for. And I'll tell you what, our Christian testimony is so much more important than seeing the latest movie. And somebody says, well, you're being kind of picky. Well, let's do those things that are pleasing in His sight so we can have our prayers answered. We want to make Him happy. We want to say, Lord, I want to be so far away from sin and make You happy with my life. And when that's our heart's attitude, I believe the Lord goes out of His way to answer our prayers. I've known some men like that. There's some guys that if I've got a serious request, I want to get on the phone and ask them to pray for it. You say, well, don't you pray for it yourself? Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I want to be right with God, and I want to be a preacher who gets his prayers answered. I want to be a Christian who gets his prayers answered. But I know some guys that it seems like everything they pray for gets answered. And a lot of times if I give them a prayer request, they'll say, well, I'll pray about it and see if the Lord gives me peace to really ask Him for it. Okay, that's all I'm asking you to do. And you ask some of those guys to pray, and if the Lord lays on their heart that it's God's will, and then they ask for it, man, it's pretty exciting. It's going to happen. One story is told of Dr. John R. Rice. We sang one of his hymns here this evening, and how he prayed for a family, a couple, to have a baby. And sure enough, They had a baby. It was amazing, you know. And I don't know if I'd have the guts to pray something like that with confidence that God was actually going to do it. But the Lord laid it on his heart, and he prayed it, and the Lord answered. You know why? Because if we do things that are pleasing in his sight, he delights in answering our prayers. It's kind of like you again with your kids. Boy, if you've got an obedient kid and they're respectful and they're honoring you, you're looking for things to do for them. And, you know, they drop a little hint. Boy, that's a neat baseball cap. And you're thinking, yeah, okay, I'm going to go buy that for them because, man, they've been being so obedient, so respectful. You want to do things that are that'll make them happy and answer their request because they're doing the things that are pleasing in your sight. Let's be those kind of Christians. Let's say, Lord, I want to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Well, the last thing tonight, if we want God to do as we ask him, we've got to keep his commandments. We've got to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And then one more thing, we've got to pray in truth. Pray in truth. Turn with me to Psalm 145. There's 150 of those psalms, and this is almost to the end, Psalm 145. And a verse tucked in down there, verse number 18. Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The Lord is near to those of us who call upon him if we're calling upon him in truth. Now, when you read that verse, I think you know what it means. When you're calling upon someone in truth, that means you really mean it. You're sincere about it. And I'll tell you, there's a convicting section in this chapter of Torrey's book as he talks about praying in truth. He talks about a woman who's praying for the salvation of her husband. Lord, please save my husband. And he says, is she praying in truth? Is she sincere about it? Does she really want her unsaved husband to be saved? Because perhaps right now this unsaved husband is cheating in his business and getting more money than he ought to get. And if her husband gets saved and changes his ways, then she's not going to have as much money to live on. And if she were to pray in truth, Torrey says, perhaps she would pray, Lord, don't save my husband, because that's what she really would want. Are we praying in truth when we pray? Are we sincere about the things we're asking God? Perhaps people praying for revival are praying for revival because they want a bigger church or a good reputation for their church. But do they want the heart searching, the radical transformation that takes place when God revives us, the purging that may be involved if God sends revival? Perhaps if we were honest about our true desires, we'd have to pray, Lord, don't send revival. He wants us to pray in truth. He wants us to be sincere about the request. He wants us to say, Lord, send that revival no matter what the cost is, no matter what things you've got to put your finger on in my life, because I'm sincere. I'm praying in truth. Christians praying for the filling and power of God's Holy Spirit. Boy, they want that new joy. They want that power in soul winning. They want to be able to come to church and say, praise the Lord, these people got saved and I got to talk to them and all that. But hey, when you pray for the filling and power of the Spirit, do you want the world to hate you? Because they hated Christ. And he said, just like they hate me, they're going to hate you. Are you willing for that? When you pray for the filling and power of the Holy Spirit, do you want some unspiritual Christians to oppose you? Sometimes even other Christians will oppose someone when they're trying to do what God wants them to do. Are you willing for God to take you out of your comfort zone so you can bear much fruit, like we talked about in Sunday school today? See, some of us aren't willing to be taken out of that comfort zone. And Torrey says if we were to pray in truth, we'd have to pray, Lord, don't fill me with your Spirit. We've got to pray in truth. We've got to get to the point where we say, Lord, I've got to have your filling and power. I've got to have you working through my life. We call upon him in truth. When we combine obeying with praying, God will answer mightily.